Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. Let me begin reading verse number 11. 19, verse number 11. Stand up with me when you find your place. Okay, let's honor the Bible. Chapter number 19, the book of Luke, beginning with verse number 11. Let me read a few verses here in your hearing. Said, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Yeah. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Yeah. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be here. Thank you, Lord, for this church and for these that are here bowed with us. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that your will be done here today. Lord, that we might be drawn closer to you. Lord, help us to have a better understanding of your word and of your will. Father, we pray this morning, if there be one in the house today, Lord, that's not saved. Maybe they've never had an experience of grace. Lord, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, where you'd touch them, convict them, and draw them, Lord, for salvation. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's away from you. Bring them back to you today, Lord, I pray. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us in this service. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for saving us. Thank you for keeping us. We ask you now to go with us, anoint us afresh with fresh oil, and give us power to preach today. And what you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Occupy till I come. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes this morning. I want you to recognize that Jesus spoke oftentimes in the Bible through parables. Some of these parables that he wrote were only for the saved, and they were the ones that had the understanding of the Lord. And so he spoke to them in parables. And every once in a while, you'd find that there were others that questioned these parables, and they were mysteries to many folks when they would hear these parables as the Lord was given to them. And you know, the Lord has a way to reveal himself and to reveal his truth to every individual. And sometimes his timing is different from one individual to the other. Some people get saved when they're children. Some people get saved when they're teenagers. Some people get saved on up in age. And some people say, the Lord has never spoke to my heart. The Lord hasn't revealed himself. And that's God's business. It's not my business. If I could put my hand on it, that's exactly what I do all the time. But we can't put our hand on that. It's God's business. I don't understand it oftentimes, how God can reach into a five-year-old child and give them the understanding of salvation and not someone who is 40 years old. That's amazing to me how that is. But it's God's salvation, and he does it how he wants to do it. But he spoke in parables to the people of God that it might reveal unto them a mystery. And so he is with this mystery called life, just what life is in general. And he speaks oftentimes about this life that we live. This life that we live has a specific plan to it. God has a plan for every individual life that's here. But it's in the will of God, in this plan, that all people are saved. That's the graciousness about this plan for our lives, is that we all be saved. His will is that none perish, but that all come to repentance. Not one person does he will to go to hell. Not one person does he say, I want this one to go to hell. I believe every individual has the right. Every individual has the calling of God to choose and to make a choice, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to seek the Lord for salvation, or to reject him and die in their sins and forever separated from God. Now, that's contrary to some beliefs in the world. There are some believe that there are those that are born into the world destined to die in their sins and die and go to hell. I believe that's contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. I believe every man, woman, boy, and girl, the Lord wills to go to heaven, but He made us a men of choice, people of choice, that we choose to receive Him as their Savior or reject Him and die in their sins and die and go to hell. And so the Lord has a specific plan for every individual here. We know that the Bible said that He called the 10 servants together and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. There's the plan that God has for us in life. Now, not only does He have a plan, but He also has principles in this life that we're talking about today. Occupying this life that we're to occupy. There are principles that He gives to us when He says, occupy till I come. He says He gave them 10 pounds. And the Bible said, to one He gives 5, and to another He gives the 1, and He divides the pounds up. And then He tells them, I'm going and I'm coming back. But in the process of time, these servants, the Bible said, they had went out, and the one that had 5 were there when the Lord had returned, he had gained other 5. It never is planned in the will of God for us to sit down on the seat of do nothing while we're here on earth. There's always that principle of growing and that principle of going out into the world. And now I'm talking about the servants of God. This now in the principle, when God saves an individual, gives them salvation, then he tells us that we're to grow fruit, we're to multiply. And our principle is that we're to grow in the knowledge and the understanding of the Word of God and of the will of God. I tell you, there's people been saved for over 50 years that don't know any more about the Bible than some children that's been saved only maybe a year or two. That just amazes me how they've taken this thing called life and squandered it away. The Bible said the devil has come to steal and to rob and to kill. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil don't want you to progress. He don't want you to prosper in this life. If he could have his way, he'd keep you ignorant and he'd keep you down. And he'd try his best to stop you from growing in the graces of God. But this thing called the grace of life, God gives it to us. And God blesses us with life. But he's coming back one day after a while to require unto himself of what we did while we were here on earth. Amen. That's a pretty profound statement when you think about it. Amen. Now, the Bible said, occupy this till he comes. He's coming back one day. Amen. So we have to take his principle here. How the Bible said and that he had went away. And then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said, it's gained pounds. And imagine that. Give him 1 pound and it has gained 10 pounds. And another, and he said, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, he said, have thou authority over 10 cities. And then he said, the second came and said, the pound that you give me gained 5 pounds. And he gave him authority over 5 cities. He said, if we're faithful over the few, he'll let us rule over the many. And so the subject here is how committed we are to occupy until he comes. So now we know this morning that this plan that God has for you, it's not your plan, it's his plan. And the principle that we multiply, that we take what he has given us in talents and we multiply that talent, we get better and better as the years go by. And when we leave this old world and stand before God and he says, what have you done with what I have given you? And then when we say nothing, imagine what he's going to say to us. But imagine what he could say to the saints of God who've been faithful, who has taken his principle and multiplied, invested in the things of God, and the things in this life for the honor and the glory of God. and he sees that we've multiplied and that we've taken what God has blessed us with and multiplied it. And now we stand before God and hear him say, that good and faithful servant. Amen. He said, because thou hast been faithful in the very little. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't tell us to be successful. He says to be faithful. And when we're faithful, we can occupy the things of God till he comes. Amen. I want to know that I'm committed to the things of God, don't you?
Yes.
I want to know that I'm committed to what he's entrusted me with and the responsibility of his very own church that he started while he was here. Think about this morning. The Lord, while he was here on earth, set the church up. Now, it's always been in the bosom of the Father for this church to be developed. And we find glimpses of it in the Old Testament days through Israel. And then we look down through the history, and now we live in the very day of this New Testament age and the ages of the church as we see it now. That includes all people of the world. Black, white, red, yellow, brown, make no difference where you're from, what language you speak, who you are. It includes everybody into the church today. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? Amen. That's why we send out missionaries all over the world to preach the gospel to those that are lost, sinners that are lost. That's why we reach out our communities and we try to reach out to peoples in our community that they all could be inclusive in the salvation of the Lord through the church. I believe that the work that God does on earth today, he does it through his church. He doesn't do it through an individual. Somebody stands out here and says, I'm saved. God called me to preach. And they're out here doing work outside the confines of the church. It's unbiblical. It's not right. The Lord has given the responsibility of winning the world to Jesus through his church. The very structure of his church, he lays it out in the Bible, how we're to reach lost souls. I'm going to tell you something. A buddy had gotten out of fellowship with God and got mad at the church and left the church out yonder and started him some kind of a gathering out yonder. You can take somebody and put a Sears and Roebuck catalog under their arm, Brother Claytis said, and take them from Birmingham to Atlanta. And by the time they get to Atlanta, they'd have a big following. That's how some people are. They're charismatic. They're slick with their tongue. And they're very nice. And they're seemingly compassionate. But I'm telling you, they're out of the will of God if they don't work through the church. Amen. The Lord set the church up in the world, not the world up in the church. And he says, occupy it till I come. We got a place here. Amen. Some of you come here on Sunday morning, and that's about the extent of it. Don't see you back on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Don't see you in any kind of the church functions at all. Makes me wonder, is the church any entertainment at all to you in your mind? Do you ever wake up any time during the day and say, what's the church doing today? That's what we ought to be doing. Is the church doing anything today? If they're not, well then you're all right. But I'm going to tell you where they gather together over at the house of God. A united force of God's people can do great things. Amen. We ought to occupy in serving the Lord. Amen. And everything we do, we've got a purpose in it. In this particular text, they had a purpose. The Lord was coming back to get what we had done and to gather that back and to bless us and to give unto us the things that the blessings and the rewards that he had given, that he gives to those who've been faithful in serving him. If there's anything that I can do, I may not can do anything, but one thing I can do, I can be faithful to the church, be faithful to the Lord, and show up. Hey, somebody said my heart was with y'all. I imagine what this place would look like if everybody's hearts were sitting on the pew. You got to bring yourself if your heart's going to get here. Amen. Your heart's got to get in this thing, surely. But I'm telling you, occupy till he comes. Amen. Somebody said, well, you only come because you're the pastor. I was coming long before I was ever a preacher.
Sure.
I may not have been coming to this one, but I've been going to another.
Right.
Amen. Another building, the same church, but a different building. I'm going to tell you, since the Lord saved us, and he puts a desire in us to serve him in one of his churches and be a member of his church to serve him there. Some people do more work somewhere else in another church and belong to a different church. And they'll run over there and do some stuff over there. Well, what about here? Amen. Occupy and be faithful to the church and to your calling of the Lord and faithful to his church. I'm going to tell you, the Lord can bless your life and multiply, and he'll make it more interesting for you. I'm going to tell you, I realize sometimes the church is on the top limb, and I love to get on the top limb. I really do. I love to shout like the rest of you. I love to get in there when the Holy Ghost is moving, and it ain't like that all the time. Sometimes I'm on the bottom limb. Sometimes I'm weeping and brokenhearted, and sometimes I'm aggravated, disgusted, and sometimes I get out of the will of God, and sometimes I get upset at my own self, and my attitude gets out of whack, and I say, I don't care if I'm there or not, but I go anyhow. And there's something said, a song sung, or somebody says something to encourage us. Next thing we know, we're right back in the harness again, climbing to the top limb. The old preachers used to say, if you're not going to help push the wagon to the top of the mountain, you sure ain't going to get in it while it rides down. Amen. Amen. Occupy this till he comes. It ain't always way up there. But every once in a while, there'll be a little wind blowing. Every once in a while, the Spirit of the Lord will come through. Yeah. Somebody said, I wish you'd have been here. Boy, we had a good one tonight. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the good one. Amen. We'll just wait for the good one to come through. But I want to know that I'm here when the Spirit of the Lord goes to moving. Sometimes the Lord takes time to teach us. Sometimes the Lord takes time to spank us. Sometimes we just need them. Like my daddy used to say, I'm going to cur you over. You know what that, I'm going to cur you over. You ever heard that statement? I'm going to give you a good curring. Daddy used to always say, I'm going to give you a good curring, son. And I didn't like those. And sometimes this book curs us. Sometimes the book prunes us down. Sometimes, and it does it all for our good and for God's glory. Amen. It helps us to grow, helps us to multiply and grow fruit where God can bless us. I'd like to know that I'm doing what it is God wants me to do every day, 7 days a week, when we get up every day. Lord, this is your day. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that place today. You know, the Lord blesses not only here on Sunday. He blesses on Monday. He blesses on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And then he'll get back around Sunday. The Lord is a good blesser. The Lord can bless you this morning if you'll let him. But you have to occupy this till he comes. We've got everything else, we occupy in it. But occupy this. The Lord said, occupy this. 10, he give 1 pound and he give and it multiplied to 10. He give 1 pound and he multiplied to 5. And the Bible said, and he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Here is your pound I've kept laid up in a napkin. I've done absolutely nothing. All this time for God. Nothing. I've not made an impact. I've not made a difference. Nothing. I folded it up and put it in a nap. Because I knew you was an austere man. Yeah. I knew that if what you was going to come back after was this. And he feared him. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. This fellow was such of a legalistic fellow till he was afraid to step out by faith and do anything for God. Yeah. He was afraid that he'd mess up. He was afraid. Listen, Christianity is not that we take what God gives us and go hide in a closet somewhere. No. He said, let's take that light, go out in the world, let it so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Never in the Bible do you find, nowhere in the Bible do you find where Christian living is to be excluded from the world. Nowhere. He says, go out there and let it shine, that they could see that light shining and come to God. And so you know what? Here this man said, I hid it in a napkin. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? Why didn't you just put it in the bank? So it could have made more and more. At least thing you could have done was bank on it. But he didn't even do that. He didn't even do that. Bible said, wherefore then gavest not thou to the bank? He said, I could come and have usury. In other words, interest would have built up. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. This morning, occupy till Jesus comes. I can't do your part. God gave you a part. He gave us a plan. Principles in that plan. And a purpose and a part to be able to take what God give us. And at the end of life's journey, when we get to the very end of this thing, we'll hear him say, well done. Well done. Wouldn't you love to hear him say, well done?
Yes, sir.
We may not be worth a whole lot down here. And it might look like to the world we ain't fit to be a citizen of America. And I'm going to tell you, with the Lord, I think I've said this before here. Max Licato, a Church of Christ preacher, wrote a book, The Applaud of Heaven. I may have said it here. It's about this preacher. One of the chapters is about this preacher that was faithful. And he was a nobody out in the country, way out in the country. Nobody knew his name. Nobody knew his church. Nobody knew nothing about him. But he died, and he got to the gates of heaven. And as he walked in heaven all by himself, there it was, by himself, he walks in, and all of a sudden the angels stand by, and one goes, and then it went, and then another went, and then another one, then another one, another one. All of heaven erupted with the applause for that preacher being faithful. Where God put him. And where God blessed him right there. He may not have seen. He may not have been the Billy Graham of the world. He may not have been able to win thousands and thousands of Jesus. He stayed right there at the little church and preached the gospel.
Amen.
He may not be. Your names may not be up in lights. But if we're faithful in taking what God has given us, and stayed with him. The older I get, the more the devil tempts me, and the more the devil discourages me. And I understand that. I remember Brother Cook, when Miss Polly died, Brother Cook sent word and said, I'm not going to come to revival. And at that particular time, I'm sure Brother Cook felt like that his ministry was over. His heart was broke. His wife had passed on, and he is going to just stop preaching revivals and just hold off. And I believe his brother Clavis called him and said, don't do that. He said, don't stop. And Brother Cook then got a second wind. And from the time Miss Polly passed away till he was able to go, he kept a going and preaching. It was a blessing in his latter years, a blessing to a lot of folks and many souls saved. Because he didn't quit and he stayed faithful. I'm going to be honest with you. He was tempted to stop. He was tempted to stop. As you get older, the devil tells you, you're old. You're not fit for nothing. The best thing for you to do is just slide on out of here. But this preacher's here to tell you that's not right. It's not right this morning. Amen. Occupy. Stay with it. Yes. Keep a go until Jesus comes. Somebody asked me the other day, and I'm going to close. They said, when are you going to retire? I said, when I get to heaven. Why, whoever thought about a preacher retiring? I may get to where my body can't function no more and have to lay down in the bed. There'd be no retiring. If my mind stays straight, I'll stay with it. And somebody said after that, said, I'm so glad you said that. I'm going to tell you, keep on. Keep it on. Occupy till Jesus comes. Some of you here this morning, the devil's done come by and said, best thing for you to do is just quit. There's work to do. Let's stand. There's work to do. Amen. There's somebody you can talk to. Somebody you can tell about Jesus. Somebody this morning, God will put your pathway to be a witness to those that are lost, dying without God. Maybe somebody hurting. Somebody in trouble. Somebody maybe need help and they need to hear from God. And you're the very person. You're the very person that they need to hear from.